remind you that the views expressed on WEAA programs are those of participants and not necessarily those of Morgan State University, the staff, management, or underwriters of Baltimore's home for cool jazz. WEAA 88.9 FM.
From the Learning Lab at WEAA 88.9 FM on the campus of Morgan State University, the School of Global Journalism and Communication presents the Morgan News Hour.
Welcome to the Morgan News Hour here on WEAA 88.9 FM. I'm Randy Reed, News Director.
I'm Demi Goff, co-host of the Morgan News Hour. Thanks for joining us.
Governor Larry Hogan's former chief of staff has been indicted on federal and state charges. Learn how much severance pay he received from the state.
Mayor Brandon Scott is at home recovering after testing positive for COVID-19.
The family of Henrietta Lacks filed a lawsuit against a pharmaceutical company who they say profited from her sales. The lawsuit comes 70 years after she died from cervical cancer.
But first, Governor Larry Hogan's former chief of staff has been indicted in federal court for allegedly defrauding a state agency he led. The Maryland U.S. Attorney's Office announced the indictment today. Announced the indictment against 52-year-old Roy McGrath today. Prosecutors say McGrath devised a scheme through which the Maryland Environmental Service paid him nearly $280,000 in severance pay before he moved to his post as Hogan's chief of staff. The indictment also alleges that McGrath used agency funds to pay a personal pledge to a museum and got the agency to pay tuition expenses for a class after he left the department.
Mayor Brandon Scott continues to isolate and work from home after testing positive for COVID-19 during a routine testing Monday. Mayor Scott is routinely tested for COVID-19 two to three times a week, depending on his public schedule. That's according to his spokesman, Cal Harris. Over the weekend, the mayor appeared at several public events, along with some of his staff members who are also being tested. Mayor Scott attended a groundbreaking last Thursday here at Morgan State University. The Morgan News Hour reached out to Mayor Scott's office to see if other people have been placed in quarantine due to exposure to Mayor Scott, and we have not heard back.
The Maryland Department of Health updated COVID-19 numbers this morning. 649 new cases were reported in 24 hours. That's a drop of 429 cases from the day before. Currently, the current total number of hospitalizations is 774, an increase of 11 patients. And sadly, 11 deaths have been reported in the last 24 hours. The state's positivity rate has also dropped below 4% for the first time since August 6, and it is 3.91%.
According to Morgan State University's COVID-19 dashboard, 12 new COVID cases have been reported on campus after more than 1,100 tests were administered for the week ending October 2nd.
With the expectation that kids younger than 12 years old will soon get the vaccine shot for COVID-19, NPR looked at the rates in Northern Virginia for students 12 to 15 and found a huge disparity. More than 98% of kids ages 12 to 15 have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, while other areas around Virginia saw a significant gap. One area only had a vaccination rate of 17%, while 59% of students in Washington, D.C. of the same age group were partially vaccinated. Natalie Talley's population health manager for the Alexandria Health Department says the key is getting the community involved, right down to the recreation leaders that kids interact with daily.
What we're doing is really making sure that it's not just a health department communication about why it's important for your kid to be vaccinated, but really working very closely with community partners, all those types of groups that work with families all the time. It's someone who works at a recreation center who sees that kid almost every day after school, and the parents know them. They might listen to that person more than they might listen to a random health department staff.
Attorneys for the family of the late Henrietta Lacks are suing pharmaceutical company Thermo Fisher Scientific for using her sales to advance medical research without compensating the family. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump announced the lawsuit on behalf of Lacks' family.
For some reason, feels they have intellectual property rights over his grandmother's sales that were illegally stolen from her body.
The cells of the Baltimore County woman were removed during cervical cancer treatment at Johns Hopkins in the 1950s. Researchers found the HeLa cells continued to live and grow, and they were developed into the first ever immortal cell line without the family's knowledge. Crump says the multi-billion dollar pharmaceutical company is benefiting from the cells while her family has received nothing. The HeLa cells have been used to advance a range of medical breakthroughs, including vaccines and cancer treatments. Ben Crump says the company must do the right thing.
This isn't just about social justice. This is about genetic justice.
I'm Shine Boggs, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
Now let's take a look at the news around our region.
School bus drivers in Anne Arundel County remain on strike today. According to officials, 80 routes have been affected. Drivers have written a list of demands, which include better pay and benefits, as well as better COVID-19 safety precautions. The district says they've been dealing with a driver shortage since students have returned to class. County officials tell WJZ they are working with the bus company to come to a resolution. The two polar bears living at the Maryland Zoo in Baltimore are moving to new locations after recommendations from a nonprofit organization which focuses on animal care and welfare. A news release on Monday says Neva and Amelia Gray came to the Maryland Zoo as two-year-olds in 2018 from the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium and are half-sisters. Based on the recommendations from the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, Amelia Gray will be going to the Oregon Zoo in Portland to be a companion to her half-sister Nora. Neva will go to another zoo and be paired with an older male polar bear. Storytelling runs in one Parkville family. The Baltimore County Public Library announced the winners of their Tales of the Dead short story contest yesterday. David Sloan placed first in the 21 and over category, and like father, his daughter Polly Sloan placed first in the under 21 category with her story, The Letters from No One, which tells of a man receiving unsettling letters predicting his imminent death. The father-daughter duo have been invited by the library to read at their annual Poe-themed outdoor festival on October 16th. I'm Kasha Hancock, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, areas of fog after 11 p.m., otherwise cloudy with a low around 63. Wednesday, a chance of showers before 8 a.m., then a chance of showers after 2 p.m., areas of fog before 11 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 74. Wednesday night, a chance of showers before 8 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 62. Thursday, mostly cloudy with a high near 76. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 61. Friday, a chance of showers partly sunny with a high near 77. Friday night, a chance of showers mostly cloudy with a low around 61. Saturday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 74. Chance of precipitation is 50%. I'm Amaya Webb reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
President Joe Biden is pushing back on Republicans for not extending the debt ceiling. American Urban Radio Network's Ebony McMorris reports.
AURN News.
I'm Ebony McMorris.
The United States is a nation that pays its bills and always has. From its inception, we have never defaulted.
In a White House speech, President Joe Biden hammers down on Republicans refusing to raise the debt ceiling.
Republicans in Congress, what they're doing today is so reckless and dangerous in my view.
He pointed to what he called reckless spending under the Trump administration.
In 4 years, they incurred nearly $8 trillion in additional debt in bills we have to now pay off.
And gave this warning.
Defaulting on the debt would lead to a self-inflicted wound that takes our economy over a cliff.
Now, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has vowed that he and his colleagues will not vote to lift the debt limit. He's demanding that Democrats use reconciliation to lift the borrowing cap. There are dire consequences if the U.S. defaults on its debt. According to Moody's analytics, as many as 6 million jobs could be lost and $15 trillion in household wealth lost. For AURN News, I'm Ebony McMorris.
One positive out of the pandemic has some Baltimore businesses happy. Student reporter Kendra Pugh has more.
Baltimore officials use this pandemic as an opportunity to strengthen city's small business economy, according to the Baltimore Sun. Kelly Simmons, small business owner of Aunt Kelly's Cookies located in Baltimore's Mount Vernon since 2018, wanted to turn her hobby of making butter crunch cookies for two decades into a business. Simmons said as soon as her business began to get off the ground, COVID hit, which forced her to rely on the government's paycheck program. Understanding the level of difficulty for small business owners, the City of Baltimore Development Corporation, BDC, plans to overhaul the way small businesses is launched, cultivated, and sustained in the city. The BDC, along with the Mayor's Office of Minority and Women-Owned Businesses, formed a partnership last year with Baltimore Small Business Support Fund. Over 2,000 businesses have benefited from the partnership, which has raised $27 million in funds. I am Kendra Pugh, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
The U.S. Postal Service is offering check cashing services at some post offices. Here's the latest in consumer and financial news.
Down one day, up the next on Wall Street. After Monday's big sell-off, buyers returned Tuesday, even to Facebook, despite its six-hour technical shutdown and testimony by whistleblower Frances Haugen, who repeated to a Senate subcommittee Tuesday that Facebook routinely puts profits over safety, especially that of children and teens, something Facebook's head of global research, Antigone Davis, tells NBC isn't true.
That is absolutely contrary to my experience. It's also contrary to the facts. I mean, since 2016, we've spent $13 billion on safety and security. We have 40,000 people working on safety and security.
Davis seemed to welcome not necessarily regulation, dicey given the First Amendment, but rules from what she called an outside validator of its content decisions. Americans are snapping up imported goods more than other countries are buying American products. The Commerce Department reports imports increased 1.4%, while exports rose only 0.5%, pushing the trade deficit to a new record high in August. Analysts expect exports will catch up as other countries catch up with the U.S. in recovering from the pandemic. The U.S. Postal Service is now offering a paycheck cashing service. Rebecca Hubbard has details.
The Washington Post reports some post offices on the East Coast are testing out the new service. Customers can get Visa gift cards in exchange for their paychecks at locations in Washington, Baltimore, Falls Church, Virginia, and the Bronx, New York. A source told the Post the pilot program could be expanded to more locations and more offerings. That could include ATMs and bill-paying services. I'm Rebecca Hubbard.
And for the first time in 25 years, former President Trump is off the Forbes 400 list of the richest Americans. Forbes says the value of Trump's properties, which make up the bulk of his fortune, has fallen about $600 million since the beginning of the pandemic because many of the buildings have sat empty. Forbes estimates Trump's total net at $2.5 billion, about $400 million short of making the club. Consumer and business news, Joe McConnell, NBC News Radio.
Holiday gatherings may look a little different this year. Sarah Lee Kessler has the latest in our health news.
Thanksgiving and Christmas will be coming up soon. Lots of planning to do in the pandemic. Well, that's still with us. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has more on how you could be impacted.
The CDC advising the safest way to celebrate is virtually, signaling people may need to be apart for the holidays once again.
If virtual or outdoor gatherings aren't an option, the CDC recommends using a window fan to keep indoor air as fresh as possible. The COVID-19 White Flag Memorial installation on the National Mall is over. Officials mark the end of the In America Remember installation on Sunday, and Suzanne Brennan Furstenberg, who created the piece, said the 700,000 white flags carried a much greater meaning for those who lost a loved one due to the coronavirus.
They've told me repeatedly, we feel like we're no longer alone.
Health update, Sarah Lee Kessler, NBC News Radio.
A former Facebook data scientist is speaking out about the online platform. In a testimony, Frances Haugen told Congress that the social media network harms children and it fueled polarization in the U.S. while its executives refused to change because they elevate profit over safety. Haugen accused the company of being aware of apparent harm to some teens from Instagram and being dishonest in its public fight against hate and misinformation, placing most of the blame on the company's CEO, Mark Zuckerberg.
This is not simply a matter of certain social media users being angry or unstable, or about one side being radicalized against the other. It is about Facebook choosing to grow at all costs, becoming an almost trillion-dollar company by buying its profits with our safety.
Among other revelations, the information that you have provided to Congress is powerful proof that Facebook knew its products were harming teenagers. Facebook exploited teens using powerful algorithms that amplified their insecurities and abuses through what it found was an addict's narrative.
We are now joined by our student roundtable.
Kasha Hancock.
Shania Butler.
President Wilson, Morgan State's President Wilson, will have a town hall meeting this week. Let me get the date or the time. It's tomorrow at 6 p.m. He says he wants to hear from students and people directly. Is there anything that you would ask if you were there?
I would want to know something regarding COVID-19 in the testing, because I'm not sure if it's mandatory for all students to get tested weekly or however we're supposed to get tested, because I know they come out with weekly results saying this many students tested positive mm-hmm. for COVID, but Morgan is a big campus, so it's about 10,000 students, but you know, all 10,000 students aren't getting tested. So if the results are not inaccurate, but the results, I think about it, like, can we really rely on that if everyone is not getting tested? So I want to know, like, what direction is that supposed to go in? Are all students going to be required to get tested? Is it going to be mandatory, or are they just going to keep it as if students, whenever they want to get tested, they can?
Yeah, I believe I know we've done a couple of stories on this where all students are supposed to upload their vaccination cards.
Yes.
And from what I remember interviewing Kevin Banks, he's the VP of Student Affairs. Mm-hmm. 96%, this was last week, 96% of the students who live on campus are vaccinated.
Yes.
Not so many on who are like commuters and things like that, part time. Total, he said, 55% of the campus is vaccinated. So okay. You don't know, you know, who you're sitting next to. So mm-hmm. that's a valid question.
And the latest numbers that just came out, they tested 1,100 mm-hmm. people, and 12 cases came back.
Right.
But that's
mm-hmm.
still not the total campus population, so there are some gaps there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's also what I was going to ask him to, like, the students who don't upload their vaccination card, like, what happens to them? I know there are, like, a lot of commuters, and not all of them have uploaded a vaccination card, so what happens to them? Like, are they allowed to come to class? Do they have to do all online classes? Like,
right. Like, and I did ask him that as well. I think there's a backlog of 3,000 vaccination cards that they have to verify. I'm trying to remember the story from last week. 3,000 cards that they have to verify. The reason why there was this backup apparently was staffing. But that is how they're, you know, going through and verifying the cards.
And I'll ask them too about, like, professors. Like, do they have to upload a vaccination card too? Like, do they have to be vaccinated?
Yes. All faculty and staff have to be vaccinated and upload their card. I had to do it.
Yes. All faculty and staff should be vaccinated, and they should have uploaded a card.
Yeah. And they're also there's religious exemptions.
There are some religious exemptions in medical as mm-hmm. well. So but I'm not sure how the medical exemptions work, especially like if you go to your doctor. I went to mine and mm-hmm. she was like, yeah, no, like just mm-hmm. get the shot.
Right.
So I'm not sure how that's working.
So do you guys have concerns about being in class with
Yes, I actually do have a concern with being in class. I mean, I would hope that the people that I have class with or the people that I have to come in contact with are vaccinated, just so that I know that I'm safe and everyone around me is safe. But at the end of the day, you know, some people, like you said, people who commute and who live off campus, they may not have the vaccine. And I know that, you know, there are a lot of commuters in a lot of my classes. So that's one thing that has worried me.
Right.
Yeah, I would have an issue with it as well, because I want to make sure my fellow peers and whoever I'm in contact with is safe as well.
And I believe that there was another concern about fake vaccination cards being around.
Yes. I see people on Instagram post how they make them, and they like charge people for fake vaccination cards.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, yes. Which is not smart, because I had COVID before and it was not
me
fun.
Too.
So I want to make sure like it's no fake vaccination cards and everybody is like fully vaccinated with both shots.
Anything else you would want to ask him, or is that?
Yeah, all of my questions would be really around COVID, because that's like the main thing right now.
I think so. And, well, outside of that question, he probably doesn't know it, but the homecoming activities.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you guys want to talk about that?
Oh, yes. We wanted to talk about the homecoming activities. So I saw that Morgan State Cab actually posted that they're going to be having a sneaker ball. Which I don't know if you all have heard of that. Have you ever heard of what a sneaker ball is?
I saw the picture, so
okay. And they're also going to have Beyond the Light skating in a pep rally. And I know they said that we should stay tuned for an announcement at 8 o'clock today. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So,
I hope that's in regards to the concert, because I still didn't see the lineup or anything. And that's my favorite part about homecoming is the concert.
And the tickets are $45.
$45.
So. Yeah.
Did you guys get your tickets for the concert? Or
no,
I'm waiting for the lineup before I buy anything.
Because that's smart. A lot of people say if it's someone that they don't necessarily like as an artist, they're not going to buy a ticket. But I mean, me personally, whether or not if I like them or not, I feel like I'm still going to buy a ticket to go, just to go.
Just still. For the experience.
Yeah.
All right. I heard the lineup. I might have to go out and perform.
Some beatboxing, time, right? You know.
That's
so funny.
Go ahead.
No, I don't know. I was going to ask, because I saw the sneaker ball, but what would you put together? Like, what would your thought process be with going through or going to the sneaker ball?
I've never been to a sneaker ball before, so this is all kind of new to me. But just by the looks of things on the flyer, I think you just, like, put on something dressy like a gown or a suit, and you just put on sneakers with
it. Yes, that's basically.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's do like you coordinate a prom with your sneakers. Sneaker and
I mean, you can, yes. And it's probably just a party.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It's
just a party.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Make sure you download the WEAA app and take us with you 24 hours a day. You're listening to WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. till 10 a.m. No matter where you listen, in the shower, in the car, or on your job, if you love everything Baltimore, then this is it. Get informed, get involved, and call in 410-319-8888. Good Morning Baltimore with Kelle and Tyler B. They about to change the game. WEAA 88.9, the voice of the community.
You have been to Baltimore, Maryland, to have big fun.
Baltimore, you asked for it and we listen. A place to celebrate your music, your culture, your food, your local unsung heroes.
Today, in honor of the ceasefire, it is Sacred Space Saturday.
Baltimore in every town!
Ready, Chris! Uncle Brad!
And so much more. It's the all-new Good Morning Baltimore with Kelle Aven, featuring Tyler B. Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 a.m. right here on WEAA.
I was down Lexington Market.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Morgan News Hour on WEAA 88.9 FM, and thanks for joining us. Now, let's get a check on your weather.
Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, areas of fog after 11 p.m., otherwise cloudy with a low around 63. Wednesday, a chance of showers before 8 a.m., then a chance of showers after 2 p.m., areas of fog before 11 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 74. Wednesday night, a chance of showers before 8 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 62. Thursday, mostly cloudy with a high near 76. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 61. Friday, a chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 77. Friday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 61. Saturday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 74. Chance of precipitation is 50%. I'm Amaya Webb reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
Sad news coming out about one of our Morgan family members, student Ian Wallace, who was a part of this fall's record freshman class and pursuing a degree in entrepreneurship, is dead after a car accident in Baltimore County. He was 19. As a community, we mourn the tragic loss of life and offer our deepest sympathies to the Wallace family. We ask that you please keep them and their extended family and friends in prayer. In addition, please be reminded that counselors in the University Counseling Center are always available for those in need of assistance. The center can be reached at 443-885-3130.
Sad news. Yeah. Make this transition. We are now joined by Tariq Turner, who is a senior here at Morgan State University. He is also the sports editor for the Morgan State campus newspaper, The Spokesman. Tariq, what's going on in sports?
Hello, WEA fam. This is Tariq Turner. Morgan State's football team has lost all four of their games so far this season, but one bright spot for the team has been the play of sophomore running back Jabril Johnson. Johnson is averaging 91 rushing yards in his team's last two games. In the team's 27-14 loss against St. Francis, Johnson rushed for 106 yards on 12 carries. After the game, I had the chance to catch up with him.
I said, how is the team feeling after today's loss?
We all were pretty upset because this is a game that we was preparing for 2 weeks, coming up the bye week. Mm-hmm. We thought we was really going to come out and show everybody what we can do for the second time after that Towson loss. It was kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
We just ain't execute after a week off. He was coming down, expecting to come in hot. We thought, you know, we had a good game plan going on through Farrell. Coaches were telling us, believing in that. We just had more time to detail our plays up. We just was ready. So, like, at the end of the game, yeah, we were butt hurt, but at the end of the day, we still got more on. We still got conference play ahead of us. So can't bite it in our butt too long.
Mm-hmm. So, even though you guys lost, you did have over 100 rushing yards. So, how would you assess your performance today?
I think I did pretty good today. I wasn't able to finish the game due to cramps, but I definitely could have had a bigger game. You know, it was definitely more 100-yard games to come, but today was a good step stone to go forward or to conference play.
What are some things you think you did well today?
I think I did good just following on my tracks, you know, just taking the coach and following my line, hitting the holes, and just really pounding them so I can open up the deep and long run so I able to, like, bounce out after I hit them for a couple of times. They ain't want to tackle me after a while. So that's how that one hit happened. But I was just trusting the line, trusting my – wasn't being too, like, you know, out of control, just being patient and hitting the holes.
What did you see on that 44-yard run?
It was an inside zone play. I just came around the second puller, and I just hit it,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I was just there.
What were some of the things that your coaches were emphasizing coming into the game?
This week, it was really just pressing our course and landmark, really just getting these linebacks to overflow so we can set up our cutback lanes, setting up an outside zone, you know. It was also emphasizing big play fakes for, like, you know, setting up our play action down the field, shots, so we can throw our fades, so they can, like, once they respect our run game, they was going to have to, you know, that's how I was going to loosen up the pass game. So that was the real big emphasis coming on, just attacking the run, so we can open up a pass game.
All right, my final question is, what do you think are some things the offense can do better?
I just think we all just got to do better at just executing our jobs and just being able to finish games. I think often we, at the big drive or so, or like at the few good plays, we just be worn out or we can't finish our drive. We just got to do better when we drive down the field and get to the red zone. We got to score on those plays. We just got to execute. Everybody got to just do their job, do what this coach is telling them to do, and I think we'll be good. You know, we just got to execute our plays. That's all.
Similar to the football team, Morgan's volleyball team's season has been marred with losses. The Lady Bears have lost 14 of their 17 games this season. However, just as is the case with the football team, there are some silver linings for the volleyball team. Stop me if you heard this before. Morgan freshman outside hitter Madison Grace has been named the MEAC Volleyball Rookie of the Week. Yesterday, Grace earned the weekly honor for a second consecutive week and third time overall. In her team's 3-0 loss against Coppin last Friday, Grace hit 351 with 17 kills on 37 total attacks. She is averaging over 15 kills per match in MEAC play this season. Morgan wide receiver Wesley Wofolk's 30-yard reception over St. Francis defensive back Brian Noel in the second quarter on Saturday has been nominated for the MEAC Football Play of the Week. If you'd like to vote for the play, go to MEACsports.com to cast your vote.
Now we're joined by Kendra Pugh, and Tariq is back with us for our live sports segment. How's everyone doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Very good. So the Chargers-Raiders game last night, Monday Night Football, I did not see the whole game, so tell me about it.
You want to go first, Kendra?
You can go first.
Okay. Yeah, I thought the Chargers, their defense looked pretty good. The Raiders didn't score until the third quarter, I believe. And Justin Herbert had another pretty good game. I think he's one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL.
I agree. I thought it was one of those games where I figured out early on that it was going to go the Chargers' way. They just look like the better overall team. I know that the Raiders are pretty good. But coming into the game, I figured that the Chargers were going to win.
And I heard a lot about that too, about the Chargers quarterback and how good he's going to be.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, if I would give him like an NBA comparison, I would compare him to Jason Tatum. I think he's very, very good for his age, and I think he has a very long career ahead of him. He's going to be probably one of the best 5 to 10 quarterbacks for the next like five to ten, maybe in 15 years.
Yeah, I agree with that. In my opinion, I feel like he has the potential to be better than Josh Allen is. His arm strength is just out of this world. How far he can throw the football is just amazing to me. And he's already accurate. He's already so accurate. So just imagine him in the years to come, how accurate he can be and how we can put the Chargers on top.
So we're going to transition over to Coach Harbaugh. And there was a call at the end of the game that he made to get the rushing record, right? Isn't there a consecutive rushing record?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
You know, you can go ahead, Kendra.
Go ahead, Kendra.
I thought it made sense. My thing is, I appreciate the rushing record and the fact that the Steelers held that record in the 70s, in the late 70s, and he was obviously trying to give his team that record. But then you had the Broncos head coach saying stuff on the sidelines. But it's like, didn't y'all put yourself in that predicament to begin with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like with unwritten rules in sports, I'm sort of two minds. It's like there are unwritten rules, but at the same time, the game doesn't end until there's 3-0s on the clock. So I didn't really have a problem with them running the ball at the end.
So would you guys have a problem if someone clocked Jackson as he was trying to down it and run?
Yeah, you can't do that to LJ, my boy.
and that's my thing. I think that's a great point because obviously the defense is expecting you to nail it. So if they were, you know what I mean? They have no clue. Like, okay, are they going to nail it or not? Mm-hmm. And then somebody could have hit him. So it's just no one. But at the end of the day, your defense wasn't good the whole entire night. So don't use that excuse that our defense was relaxed. We wasn't expecting this. Your defense wasn't that good to begin with.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's transition over to Urban Meyer, who is 0-4, I believe. He got into a situation at his own restaurant bar in Ohio after a game recently, and was shown with another woman groping her. And so I'm going to assume this is not the first time that they met.
Yeah, he's not long for this position with the Jaguars. I think he probably will be done by week 8 if I had to predict. I don't think the players in the locker room respect him. I saw that there was some turmoil between him and the owner as well. So yeah, it's not looking good in Jacksonville. But when is it ever looking good in Jacksonville?
Yeah, I just like it's just negative headlines. Like this is the same thing. This is similar to the negative headlines that happened at Ohio State. Obviously, he had a lot of success there, but it just doesn't make any sense. Your team isn't winning, so don't give them another reason to talk about you. You should have been in a film room looking at ways that your team could win, not groping somebody at your bar.
Yeah,
I'm going to leave that right there. I agree with you. Marshawn Lynch becomes the first ever National Football League Player Association Chief Brand Ambassador.
Beast mode. Yes. One of my favorite players ever. I think he's going to thrive in this position.
What is it exactly?
So they're
like
saying
the marketing guy or something?
I think it's going to be like offering guidance to some of the players in the league and past ones as well. Yeah, so I think that's what the role is going to be. And I think he's going to thrive. I think he's wise beyond his years.
Mm-hmm. Kendra?
I agree with Tariq. Like, I feel like this is a great position for him. I feel like obviously, like, his role, and he's a very smart player to begin with. So I feel like he can offer these players a lot of responsibility and helping them guide them just with their money and just overall. Because it's a lot of stuff happening in this league. So hopefully he can help them and guide them into the right direction. Mm-hmm. They won't make a lot of these mistakes that a couple of these players you know for, like the Josh Gordons of the world, have made, and he can teach them.
Yep.
Because if I'm correct, did Marshawn Lynch not spend his signing bonus or something?
Yeah, I think he did save a lot of the money that he did make, yep.
Right. So when he got his signing bonus, whatever it was, let's say $5 million, he never spent that,
I remember, towards the end of his career, one of his press conferences, he was, saying, stack your cheese, take care of mental, or something to that effect.
Right. Yeah. So, good luck to him. Hopefully he's successful. Finally tonight, the Yankees-Red Sox.
You're Yankees.
Playing game. Oh, I forgot you're a Boston. She likes
you're a Boston Red Sox fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your own prediction for tonight? So
I'll be blowing her phone up tonight.
I'm hoping the Sox can pull it off. I have a lot of doubts, but I don't think the Yankees pitcher is looking that good. He was looking good.
Yeah,
he
Gerrit Cole, yeah.
The Cy Young Award. But it's not looking too good with the Red Sox batters. He's going to have some trouble if he doesn't clean it up.
Now, where's the game?
It's in Fenway.
It's in Fenway?
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, we own that.
What's your prediction for tonight?
I think it's going to be a good game, close. Of course, I'm going to take the Yankees.
Okay.
Probably a Judge walk-off, maybe.
Judge walk-off? Okay, I'm taking an Alex Verdugo walk-off single in the Red Sox. I'm going to move on.
Yeah, so I mean, this season has been pretty good, especially the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm, it came down to the wire for sure.
Yeah, go ahead, Kendra.
My only doubt, I would predict that the Sox would win it in a runaway, but JD Martinez isn't playing, which is like a low blow.
Yeah.
But, I'm still picking him to win it, but it's obviously going to be close. I predict the whole score is going to be probably like 8. So they'll probably be like 4-4, or I mean 5-3. Or something like that. But I think it's
going to
be close, though.
I do, too.
Yeah, I can see it being a good pitching duel.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. You're listening to the number one streaming station in Baltimore, WEAA 88.9 FM, The Voice of the Community. We'll be right back.
Do you like to move to the sounds of Tito Puente, Celia Cruz, and other salsa artists? Saturdays at noon is where it's at with Fiesta Musical. Hola, this is Guillermo Brown, and I invite you to join me, and co-host Gary Elter on our musical journey every week. Listen to the sounds, stories, and the connections. Fiesta Musical, classic salsa and Latin jazz, every Saturday from noon till 2 on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutamente, la voz de la comunidad.
On Saturday, October 16th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Baltimore Metropolitan Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta and the Gamma Omicron Omega Alumni Chapter of Iota Phi Theta will have a pop-up expungement clinic in the North Barclay Green Community Center at 2026 Greenmount Avenue. There will be on-site legal services to help you get a fresh start by clearing your eligible criminal record. Masks are mandatory and COVID guidelines will be strictly enforced. Pre-registration is preferred, but walk-ins are welcome. For registration and more information, Eventbrite under pop-up expungement clinic.
From Randallstown to Greenbelt and everywhere in between, we're loud and kicking. The voice of the community, WEAA 88.9 FM.
Welcome back and thanks for riding with us. You're listening to the number one streaming station in Baltimore, WEAA 88.9 FM. Here is a recap of the top stories in the Morgan NewsHour. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott continues to isolate in his Northwest Baltimore home today. Yesterday, Scott tested positive for COVID during routine testing. And, according to Morgan State University COVID-19 dashboard for the week ending October 2nd, Morgan State is reporting 12 new COVID cases from the 1,138 tests that were administered last week. Now, let's take a look at your weather.
The weather.
Welcome back, and thanks for riding with us. You're listening to the number one streaming station in Baltimore, WEAA 88.9 FM. Here is a recap of the top stories in the Morgan NewsHour. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott continues to isolate in his Northwest Baltimore home today. Yesterday, Scott tested positive for COVID during routine testing. And, according to Morgan State University COVID-19 dashboard for the week ending October 2nd, Morgan State is reporting 12 new COVID cases from the 1,138 tests that were administered last week. Now, let's take a look at your weather.
Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, areas of fog after 11 p.m., otherwise cloudy with a low around 63. Wednesday, a chance of showers before 8 a.m., then a chance of showers after 2 p.m., areas of fog before 11 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 74. Wednesday night, a chance of showers before 8 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 62. Thursday, mostly cloudy with a high near 76. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 61. Friday, a chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 77. Friday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 61. Saturday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 74. Chance of precipitation is 50%. I'm Amaya Webb reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
So here's what's trending in your entertainment. Two New York legends will face off in a versus battle. The Wabcats concert series took to Instagram to reveal that icons KRS-One and Big Daddy Kane will go head-to-head at Brooklyn's Barclays Center on October 17th. And during the same week, Versus will also premiere an additional concert series called Icons, providing some favorite artists from yesteryear the opportunity to showcase their catalog without a competitive angle. So kicking off the Icon series will be dancehall icon Supercat. It'll be his first show in Brooklyn since the Biltmore Ballroom. Supercat will perform on October 16th. Businesswoman and fashion designer Tina Knowles Lawson has partnered with Shea Moisture to launch a salon initiative fund, which will award $10,000 grants to help five licensed black hairstylists scale their businesses. In addition to continuing Shea Moisture's ongoing commitment to community support, the new grant specifically aims to help independent stylists to transform the innovations created to subsidize income loss during the pandemic. The Salon Innovation Fund will also give stylists access to education to help expand their vision for their respective businesses and offered services. Simone Jordan, head of brand purpose and partnership, says the Salon Innovation Grant is the company's way to continue their mission of closing the racial wealth gap with investments supporting black entrepreneurs. Lawson says she's honored to be a part of this initiative as a previous salon owner and hairstylist herself, adding that this grant awards stylists, though it will not only support the needs of their clients, but it can create wealth and opportunities for their families and communities. Applications for the Salon Innovation Grant are open through October 18th at SheaMoistureFund.com. Now, Randy, I know that this Versus for you is a big deal. KRS-One and Big Daddy Kane, who right. you got?
Big Daddy Kane.
Big Daddy Kane. Yeah. What is one of your favorite songs?
Probably, again, I'll go back to when I worked at BET. Okay. He performed, he came a couple times when I was there. Big Daddy Kane did, and KRS-One did too.
Yeah.
Came there as well. Probably Smooth Operator.
So we were in the back, and I think you were playing Smooth Operator. I was like, that's not the song I'm thinking about, but I know it. But the one I was thinking about was Ain't No Half Steppin'.
Ain't No Half Steppin'.
So,
yes.
I mean, KRS-One, and you know, they're both.
No, KRS-One, yeah. They're. Both.
Yeah, no, that was they're both yeah. awesome in
from
their own
time.
Rights. Yes, from your time. No, they're both 80s. Awesome. Uh-huh. I don't know who I would go with, but you know, I'm gonna go with Big Daddy Kane because everybody in my family loves Big Daddy Kane.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
You know, KRS-One had South Bronx, so when I went to school, a bunch of people from that was on and out around that time.
Yeah.
You heard that going around campus. And he was also a big part of that self-destruction video and that, you know, got all the artists together.
Yeah.
Talking about self-destruction.
Okay.
Queen Latifah.
Okay.
Right.
So, yeah. No, because I know this is something that you would be excited for. All those other verses, you're like, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this one, I'm pretty sure I'll definitely watch.
It's going to be on the 17th. So, mm-hmm.
And if anyone has seen, Big Daddy Kane was actually on NPR's Tiny Desk.
Mm-hmm.
You can Google it. That's what I was playing.
Yeah, that you were
earlier.
Playing. Yes. He still looks very nice, looks very healthy.
Just
and
a gray beard like me.
Exactly. And a little heavier than what he looked like when he in the 80s when he was younger.
Right.
But he still like has his flow. Mm-hmm. He's still pretty good.
Right.
So, yeah, we haven't really seen much from KRS-One in recent times. But, you know, hopefully, you know, these are icons. They're veterans in the rap game. So I'm guessing that they're, you know, they're going to be real tight when they get up there on the stage.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there an act that you still want to see that goes...
No, because I missed the Ja Rule act. I think I missed the Dipset and the Lock.
What about female rappers?
I missed the Eve and Trina.
Oh, that's right,
so,
yes.
Uh-huh. You know, I've been missing right. all of them because they're on weekdays.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. You know, I'm about to go to bed. And they start late sometimes. Mm-hmm. So the only one that I was able to actually watch was Bow Wow and Soulja Boy because it was on a weekend.
Oh, okay.
So, mm-hmm. But they are...
But this concept that they have with this, I mean, I think it's pretty good because it's, you know, bringing back memories as well as, you know, bringing in a new audience, a younger audience who might not know.
Yeah.
My son's 24, so he knows because I played it in the car every
day
on the way to school.
Right. So, and then it also, with what Versus has been doing, because it is, you know, the artists coming back. You know, they're performing some of their greatest songs. Mm-hmm. Their streaming numbers have right. now gone mm-hmm. up since, you know, right. they've done a Versus battle. So now, you know, they're making a little bit more money, which is awesome for them. So I'm really not sure of, you know, of an artist who I may want to see, because I know that the artists that I like are not going to do a Versus. Mm-hmm. Like Mary J. Blige even commented, because I think she was on The Breakfast Club, and Charlamagne asked her about a Versus, and she was like, what would a Versus do for Mary J. Blige?
Right.
And, you know, now we see, like, Versus can't do nothing for Mary J. Blige, because she's going on tour. The tickets are $300. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. and she's right. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
It all depends on, you know, where you're at in the game right now.
Exactly.
So a lot of these people who, you know, haven't had albums out in years and, you know, bringing back nostalgia, you know, with us who grew up with them.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah.
No. Yeah. So I'm like I said, I'm not sure who I would want to see in Versus. You know, I was able to see the Ashanti versus Keisha Cole. That was pretty cool. I don't know. But, you know, Lil' Kim said she would do a Versus if she could go against Nicki Minaj. But I don't think Nicki Minaj is going to do a Versus. But Lil' Kim. Maybe Foxy Brown.
That may be a good one.
So,
I don't know how much catalog they got, but yeah.
Lil' Kim has a catalog.
I love Foxy Brown. Foxy
I don't. Does she have 12 songs? I don't know.
And she would have to, you know, kind of come on with who she partnered with.
That's what they do. Yeah. They do their remixes or whatever
so
the case
Jay-Z's
may be.
Gonna come on?
He probably will, or she can just play the song.
Right.
Well.
All right. We want to thank you all for joining us tonight on the Morgan News Hour. I'm Randy Reed.
And I'm Demi Goff. Thank you for joining us tonight, and please enjoy the rest of your night.
Our production tonight was brought to you by the students in the School of Global Journalism and Communication right here at Morgan State University. In our learning lab right here at the studio of WEAA 88.9 FM, led by Dean Jacqueline Jones and station manager Robert Shahid. Thank you to our student reporters, Shania Butler, Kaisha Hancock, Chardonnay Jackson, Zakiya Jennings, Jasmine Johnson, Rochelle Keaton, David Lance, Gabriel Ortiz, Kendra Pugh, Tariq Turner, and Kara Williams. An extra special thanks to Andre Melton and Sean McBean for engineering the show tonight. For engineering the show tonight. For engineering the show.